Golf Smarter number 84 for July 24, 2007.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Part 2 of the 7 Principles of Golf with Darren G.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, we tap the minds of PGA and USGA course pros, architects, authors, and teaching gurus to provide you with tips, drills, insights, and advice so that you can lower your scores. Golf Smarter is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Thank you, and I want to start today with a shout-out to Mark Baxter, a recent winner of our Edwin Watts Golf drawing. He sent me an email that said that he had 5 regular playing partners who are also Golf Smarter listeners. So, to Roger, Jiggy, and John, stay tuned, guys, and thanks for listening. If you have any friends in your playing group that are also Golf Smarter listeners, please send me their names and where you guys play, and I'd be happy to say hello to you at the open of a show. On today's show, Darren G., founder and senior coach of the Spirit of Hawaii Academy, goes over the last 4 principles of his book, The 7 Principles of Golf. Kenny Nicholson reviews the newest hybrid iron set from Ben Hogan Golf and announces the winner of the Prince Golf Hybrid Chipper. Welcome back, Darren.
Hey, good to be back, Fred. How are you doing?
Fine. That was like moments. Since we recorded our last
a moment in time, there
but
you go.
For everybody
one shot
else,
at a time.
You know, for everyone else, it could have been a week, and it may have been the next episode because people don't always. The beauty of podcasting, you don't have to listen as soon as the show comes out because this content's going to be relevant for a long time.
You bet.
So let's quickly do a recap of what we talked about in the 7 Principles of Golf and Mastering the Mental Game of Golf. We went over number 1 was balance.
Balance, and the second principle was feel.
Mm-hmm.
The third is visualizing the shot. Balance is about staying centered, finding your center and maintaining that through the swing. And I like to talk about once you find your balance is to imagine the spikes in your shoes rooting into the ground like the root system of a tree. And the root system of a tree, it's interesting because the root system usually below the ground is almost as big, if not bigger, than what's above the ground. So I tell people to imagine a willow tree, a palm tree, a bamboo reed with solid foundation, and then your upper body is still nice and loose and flexible. So balance is number 1. 2 is developing feel, and that's all about how you connect with the golf club. And the only part of your body that physically connects with the golf club are your hands. So that's maintaining a nice connection there, something that I like to describe as being light but not too light, something that you feel is right for you. And that being said, the key word is you. You got to find what works for you. So experiment with different grip pressures until you find the one that fits and then maintain that consistently through the swing. And then the third principle that we talked about prior is visualizing the shot. And to me, that's about knowing what you want. First of all, setting a goal. So if you're on the putting green, I want it in the hole. If you're on the tee, I want my ball to end up at that exact spot in the fairway. And then visualizing how you're going to do it or imagining in your mind's eye. And this is where you can get creative. And, working with 7,000 people over the past few years, I've heard everything under the sun now. One guy who worked for air traffic control, he's looking at that radar screen all day long, he saw blips on the ground that were like a radar screen going into the hole. I go, hey, that's it. That's you. That's what you do every day.
Perfect.
Powerful, you know. So use your imagination when it comes to visualization. And then once you visualize how you're going to get there, then you got to trust and commit to it. And we're talking about not 99% or 99.99. I'm talking about 100% commitment to that shot, to that visualization. And if it's any less than that, that's a sign to step back and start the process over. And I think that's where we got to on our last discussion. We had talked briefly about ritual as well, and that's the next principle, the 4th one, creating your own pre-shot ritual. And to me, I use ritual instead of routine because rituals are more meaningful and significant, and they're very personal. So it's something that you can do to help you play your best on the golf course, and that's doing the same thing before every shot. And I think that's where we got to on the last one.
Right. And actually, I had a question about the pre-shot ritual.
Sure.
Are there elements of your pre-shot ritual that should be required? Are there things that you really need to incorporate, and however you do it, but you need to incorporate into your pre-shot ritual?
The one thing that I say, no matter who you are and what you do in your pre-shot ritual, that you need to incorporate is that you need to remember to breathe. Okay? And people laugh like, no kidding, yeah, I hope you're breathing. But it's amazing because I'll watch people walk off the 18th green after playing, you know, around the golf, and you see them, they're pale, they're listless, they're sweaty, they're dragging their feet, and they're exhausted because they've literally held their breath for the 4 hours they're out there because they're so tense. And when I mean held their breath, they're nervous, they're rushed, and their adrenaline's pumping, heart rate's beating for whatever reason, and they don't breathe and get enough oxygen into their muscles. And you look at the top athletes in golf, all other sports, they are in top condition because they have great lung capacity. They're able to really energize their muscles during the process of competition. So when I say breathe, what I talk about is when you start your ritual is just to take a huge breath deep into your lungs, and diaphragmatic breath or yogic breath or belly breathing where your belly kind of pops out, that's when you fill your lungs and you get a nice cleansing breath. What it does is two things. One is, in golf, we tend to be rushed, and we're not in our rhythm. Once you do that deep breath, it gets you into your individual rhythm, okay? And that kind of slows you down, gets you into your pace so that you can hit your best shot. And at the same time, it energizes all your muscles. So it gets full oxygen in your muscles so that you can perform at your best. And that's what I recommend, is everyone does at least that one thing in their ritual. Everything else, it's totally up to them. Totally up to them, as long as it helps them. And I tell them, keep it simple, okay? Keep it personalized, keep it you, and then most importantly, remember to do it every time.
Right, exactly. It's interesting, you talk about the breathing part. I played with a guy that before each shot, as he addressed the ball, just before he was about to begin his swing, he took a deep breath and brought his shoulders up so high that he was practically covering his ears. You know, and like the lats were like just pumped up. And it was like, and I was watching him, and I don't say anything because I've learned, but but it's like, how can you possibly get a swing going with your shoulders up that high and being that tense?
Well, it's interesting. My guess would be when he inhaled, lift up his shoulders, and then by the time he exhaled and executed a swing, he was able to release and relax.
I think that the exhale was after the swing.
After the swing?
Yeah.
Well, for everyone, it's a little bit different. So really what I would say is that he probably, that motion over the shoulders is probably kind of tensing everything up, and then when he got to his swing, then it relaxed everything. It's sort of like what we do, going back to feel. Some people say, I just can't loosen my hands enough to get that free swing. And I say, well, let's grip it as tight as you can. Ultimately, grip that club as tight, 10+. And they're gripping as tight as they can, and then I say, relax your hands, okay? And that relaxed grip, then they swing, and they go, oh, there it is. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you got to tense up a little bit to then go to the opposite and relax, and I would guess that was what that gentleman was doing. I wasn't there, that would be my conclusion on that.
Well,
one.
I just kept saying to myself, boy, you know, he wouldn't have this many miss hits if he just relaxed. Just drop your shoulders.
Just breathe. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, maybe the exhale would help. It's a two-part thing, you know, inhaling and exhaling. So
right.
Yeah, so the ritual, again, finding what works for you, doing it consistently, and a lot of people skip it on the golf course. And what I tell people is that to remember to do it on the golf course, you got to practice the way you want to play. So when you're on the driving range, sometimes I'll see a guy or a gal out there with, you know, big pile of golf balls, a couple hundred golf balls, and they're just firing away like a machine gun. And then I walk up to them and say, hey, you're really getting into rhythm, you're really striking it well. And they say, yeah, it feels great. And I say, well, how often do you get to play golf like that on the golf course? And they kind of have this look on their face like, never. So I tell people, yeah, there's a time for drilling and hitting balls over and over, getting that repeatable swing, sure. But every time you practice, I want you to step back and hit a few shots as if you're on the golf course. Stepping back, going through your pre-shot ritual, visualizing yourself on the golf course. If you practice that way when you're on the golf course, it's simple. It's easy. It's not foreign, something that you do regularly.
Yeah, excellent point. Should the visualization of your target and your shot, should that be part of your ritual, or should you be doing the visualization before you start your ritual?
It's different for everyone. It's different for everyone. So I've seen people that will stand, and while other people are hitting and they're at their ball, they'll visualize their shot, and then they'll go into their ritual, and then boom. And then, you know, do the trigger, deep breath, and they're up there and they're hitting it. For me, personally, I do make it a part of my ritual because it really helps me focus on what I want. So literally, I do my trigger, see that line, and then boom, go. And that's also, I think, an important thing that I haven't talked about too much with the ritual is that have a trigger, some type of physical trigger that says, okay, boom, now I'm playing golf. It's like you're flipping on the light switch. And that trigger doesn't have to be anything complex. In fact, you're probably already doing something already. And it could be, you know, literally just, for me, it's taking my club and putting it on the ground on the line that I'm going to putt. That's my trigger. Some people, you know, they plumb bob. That might be their trigger. Some people fix their hat every time before a shot. That might be their trigger. And what that does, that physical motion then becomes something internal. And once you do that, your body goes, oh, I get it. Now's the time to focus, and it literally raises your level of concentration and performance from a kind of a basal metabolism or state to really peak just like that.
It's an interesting point because you mentioned our previous conversation, snapping your fingers.
Yeah.
And I really like the idea of giving yourself an audible type cue to get your mind into, okay, now.
Yeah,
now's
exactly.
The time. That's
exactly.
Great.
So, yeah, it could be snapping your finger. For some people, yeah, they're odd. You know, they hear. They're more into audible signals or cues. Some people are more physical. Some people can just do it, you know, just thinking about it. So really, something that you can use that works for you. Again, personalize it. That's why I say, you know, you got to create your own pre-shot ritual. Don't try to do anyone else's. Do your own. And whatever helps you then focus, and then you can use that off the golf course. I work with a lot of corporate executives. I do a lot of corporate programs in which we're teaching this to them, of course, in the golf context. But how do you use this in your professional life? And I say, let's say you're about to go talk to the board of your company, and this is an important meeting, and you're doing a half-hour presentation that gives them, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down on what you're doing in your whole career. Do that trigger right before you start your presentation. Okay, it immediately raises your level of trust, commitment, and gets you to relax so that you can be at your peak. Otherwise, you're going to be kind of scattered. So do the same trigger that you do on the golf course. You can have when you're about to give a big speech or have a big presentation or have a big sales call or whatever like that. And that's real powerful. That's been a real powerful tool for a lot of people.
I can see that's an excellent point. I can see that if I was playing with someone who wasn't having a very good day, if I were to snap my fingers every time I stepped up, they were like, would you knock it off already?
What are you doing?
I hate when you do that. No.
You're driving me crazy.
So
yeah.
I see maybe just taking the golf club and just putting it down on the ground, you know, putting the head of the club down on the ground. It's like, oh, okay, I'm there. Now,
yeah,
go.
Whatever works for you. And, you know, for some people, you see a lot of golfers now tugging their sleeves, right, to loosen up their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And that started out because, you know, these guys used to wear tighter shirts when they swing. So it literally started out as a way to, you know, loosen up because you needed to. Now the shirts are so baggy, you don't have to do it physically, but it's become a part of your ritual to help you remind yourself to relax and focus.
Well, if you're really sweaty, you're trying to just get the shirt off to loosen it up, but now they have these dry fit shirts that are
That's
so
right.
great,
you don't
nothing
need to do
sticks
that anymore.
Anymore.
Don't need to do it, yeah.
All right, let's move on to principle number five.
Okay, the fifth principle is finding your own natural swing. Now, when you find your natural swing, what I mean by that is that there are no two people that are alike in this world. We're all different in height, shape, sizes, physical, athletic experience. So no two people can expect to have the same swing. So it's interesting how you see people always saying, well, I want my spine, I want to be like Tiger. I want to swing just like him, look like him, and don't do all that. I said, you know, there's only one Tiger out there. So let's not try to be him. Okay, you can learn from it, but then you got to find what fits you. And when I talk about natural swing, a lot of the examples I use are about, you know, Fred Astaire. I use him all the time because he was actually a very good golfer. And in the movie Carefree, he's on the driving range hitting golf balls, and the music starts, and he's dancing and hitting golf balls at the same time. And it's pretty neat to see him do this because he's really hitting the ball quite well, and he has a driver, and he's hitting five balls teed up in a row all in sync while he's doing this dance. And you see that ball just take off. And to me, that was his natural swing. It was a swing that fit him. It was his personality coming out in his golf swing, light, cheery, graceful, elegant. And that was his swing. And that's what I tell people is that if you'd like, you can match up your swing to your personality. So if you're laid back like an Ernie Els or Fred Couples, laid-back swing. Sounds good to me. If you're more assertive and attack life, like a Greg Norman or a Tiger or John Daly or Annika, then have an attack life swing. So it's really about finding what works best for you, what fits you. And that, you know, that being said, some people say, well, if I match up my swing to my personality, we're all in a heap of trouble because they're type A's or, you know, self-admitted type A's and stressed out, and they want to learn how to relax. And I tell those folks to do the opposite then. You know, try to find that swing that fits for what you want to become and what you want to achieve. And that's what real natural swing is about finding what fits best for you.
I don't think I've ever interviewed anyone that in one answer they gave me two examples of different Freds. I'm so impressed.
And you're the third. So I haven't seen the swing yet, Fred. So.
And it's only important to Freds. It's a bizarre thing. Most people don't, like, if you meet somebody that has a name Darren, you don't really probably care. But there's something about Freds that we like, oh my God, Fred!
You guys unite. Freds unite.
Do you know that there's a Fred Society?
I did not know there's a Fred Society.
It's actually there. And there's a quote from Fred Couples. You brought it up.
There you go.
There's a quote to the fifth principle here. It says, people are always telling me I should do one thing or another. I should change my grip or shorten my swing. I should practice more and goof around less. I shouldn't smile on Sunday. I shouldn't. Frankly, I don't know why they worry. It's my life and I don't worry.
There you go.
Great quote, Freddie.
That's it. Yeah. Play your game. And then it extends beyond swing, I think. How you play the game too, how you approach each shot, how you approach the game itself. Find your own rhythm with it. And a lot of people say, well, gosh, you know, I'm just so busy, I can't get out there and play every, you know, two or three times a week. And I said, well, that's your lifestyle, so find what does work for you at this given moment. And that may be just going out and hitting the bucket once a week, or just going out and hitting some putts in your living room. Find your own way with it so that you can still enjoy the game of golf.
And I think that it also rolls over to the fact that when you find an instructor, find one that's going to let you work with your own style. A frustration of people I've heard about golf academies is you go in for 2 or 3 days and they want to change your swing, they want to change what you do, change your style to match either theirs or Tiger's. Something. I mean, no one's going to go and try to match you to Jim Furyk, but they want you to adjust to their system, where you'd probably be better off by going to a professional on an ongoing basis who's going to allow you to work with what you've got.
Yeah, I would say that, again, that's a perfect example of, again, finding your own natural swing. What style do you want for you? Mm-hmm. For some people, they do want to go there and get retooled and find that swing that, you know, and change their swing. Others want to just take what they have now and maximize it. Others really want to just find something completely different. So you have to determine what you want, going back to visualization, what you want to do it, and how you want to get there, and then find the right fit for you. So it may be the academy, it may be as someone locally, it may be just picking up a book or a DVD and working out on your own. So again, finding your own style, and that's what I always tell people. They say, well, what should I do next? I say, well, if you're going to continue to work on your game, make sure you interview the people that are going to be working with you and see what their goals are and what their philosophy is, and make sure it matches to yours. And if it's a fit, then go for it. If it's not a fit, if it doesn't feel like that's the right person, by all means, then try to find someone else. And to me, when people come to our academy, I tell them, take the parts that work for you. Okay, it may be one principle, maybe another, maybe all seven. It may not be your cup of tea, and that's fine too. But you have to find what works for you as an individual, and that really brings out the fifth principle, finding your swing, because that's what's going to stick. And to me, that's the ultimate goal, is to find something that helps people enjoy it more, enjoy their lives more, and what better than to find a way that works for you.
And your academy is a 12-month-a-year academy, isn't it?
We are 365 days a year. Well, it's interesting, Fred, because in the 7 years we've done that, we've never been rained out once. So, yeah, 365 days a year.
Okay.
It's great.
And that is the Spirit of Golf Academy in the Big Island of Hawaii.
Yeah. Yep, Spirit of Golf Academy, and we do a great program. So if people come over, you know, they've read the book or seen the DVD, we take them through the same principles step by step, but we work with you one-on-one on the principles in small clinics, and in 2.5 hours you can really see the impact. And we've had people. We had a guy who one day, he shot, the day before he took our clinic, shot a 99, and the day after, actually the same day after taking the clinic, played right after, he shot a 77. And it was just by what he learned during our program. Didn't change the swing, didn't change the equipment, just by having him focus in a different way.
Interesting. Part of the exercises that you provide in the book under the fifth principle are practicing swings without hitting balls.
Oh, yeah. I think it's kind of where if you visualize hitting, swinging perfectly, when you actually go out and do it, your body then responds based on how you've been thinking. So what I tell people is that when you're hitting, when you're practicing, it's almost like you can go out and not hit one golf ball and have a fantastic practice session. And it's swinging with your eyes closed, experimenting, just feeling the groove of your swing. And sometimes the ball actually gets in the way of improvement. And what I mean by that is I have people do practice swings, and a lot of people, their practice swings are just fantastic, balanced, rhythmic. And if you were to hook them up to one of those computers, they would say, wow, this is a perfect swing. We could send this to the Golf Channel and view this to everybody, and this is what you should do. And then you put a little white ball in front of that same person, and it's like their evil twin shows up.
Yeah, what happens?
Yeah, there's a gap there. That's what I call the gap.
We're all phenomenal golfers on the driving range.
That's it. So what I tell people is that what we want to do is bridge the gap. Bridge the gap between your practice swing and your actual swing. And what you'll find is if you swing with your practice swing more regularly, you'll probably be a much better golfer. So a lot of the exercises that we do is about taking a practice swing, stepping up, doing the same practice swing. And it just happens that one of those swings happens to have a ball in front of it. And so that practice swing without the ball becomes almost as important as actually when there is a ball. And once you can get people to get past the fact that it's really the same swing, then it frees them up to just let go. You know, a lot of times people, when they're doing practice swings, they're not controlling. They just let it flow freely. And when they get to the ball, something happens. They tighten up. That's where we get back to having that light grip. And then when they can do that, that's when you see a big stair-step improvement in their game.
Well, there's so much pressure in golf. There's so many things that you're competing against. And then, oh, my God, somebody wants to play for money. you got to compete against par. You got to compete against the terrain. You got to compete against the weather. And so all of a sudden there's a ball in front of you, and all those things are starting to come into your head.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think golf's such a great sport, because you can go out and play the same course, even the very same day, and it's a completely different course.
Yeah.
Conditions change constantly, right?
Well, look what happens at 4 days of a tournament.
There you go. I mean, whether you tee off at 8 or you tee off at 10, the course is completely different. And to me, that is the challenge, and that's why I like it so much, because it's always different. So to me, the way I look at it, I tell people, yeah, there's always going to be these things that you can then say are pressure, and don't ignore it. Certainly you may feel that, especially when you're on the first tee and there are a bunch of people watching. But once you step up to the ball, it's still you, the ball, and the hole. Nothing has changed physically. So that's where you can move into doing your ritual. And literally, at the snap of a finger, you can eliminate. And what I tell a lot of people is, do when you do your trigger or cue and a deep breath in the beginning of your ritual, is that when you exhale, you just imagine a cocoon or a cloud around you, the ball, and your target. And that becomes your relative playing area. And you can almost eliminate all those pressures and all those extraneous thoughts. And that's how you kind of move in and out of it. And, you talk to the top players when they win tournaments. When Tiger won the Masters a few years ago, he said, I didn't even realize, after he hit the last putt, because I didn't even realize that I was done. I didn't even realize I had finished the tournament, because I was just focused on each and every shot.
Wow.
And it was at that moment, he goes, oh, my God, I just won the Masters. I mean, that's amazing. And he is one of the best of all time that can do this, but he's human. We're human. So what I've done is taken what the great masters of the mental game have done naturally and just made it practical and simple for the everyday golfer, and made it very, like I said, step-by-step process, simple, easy, that you can pick up and learn and apply right away.
Wow. Right, well, I think that leads us right into principle number 6.
Yeah, the 6th principle is called one shot at a time. Okay, and we've all heard it before.
This is like a little cliche, wouldn't you say?
It is a little cliche, and people say, well, do you want to include that? I go, certainly, because I think it sums up the essence of the game of golf.
Yeah.
Because in the game of golf, you're out there for 4 hours, you hit shot after shot, and it's sort of, it's a journey. You end up where you start. I like that. When you start in the first, you end the back, which is about where you start. But you can't do it all at once. You can only play one shot at a time. And so it's about being present. And a lot of times what people do when they're on the golf course is their mind is elsewhere. They're still thinking about that shot they hit three holes ago that and they blew it, and they're going, God, I still can't believe I did that. And what that does is that maintains that level into their next shot and distracts them.
You said you haven't seen me play. You said you haven't seen me play. I think you're wrong.
Did I just explain you?
Yes, you did.
So that happens, and then people then it affects the quality of what they're doing now. And then some people say, well, you know, I can understand you want to let go of the bad shots, but why do you want to let go of the good shots? And I tell people, is that a lot of times, you know, maybe you have a birdie or a couple pars and a birdie, and you're thinking, gosh, I really got it down now. I really know what I'm doing. And you step up to the next tee, and you're still thinking about that birdie, and then you end up slicing one into, you know, Never Never Land. It's because you're still focused on what you did prior. So you got to let go of everything you've done in the past. And then some people get ahead of themselves, and I think we've all done this before, where we add up our score on about the 15th hole and go, oh my gosh, I'm about to shoot my personal best score, right? Or you're leading the tournament, and you start thinking about, oh, I get to collect that trophy and that check today. And already right there, and then you've already leaped ahead, and you forgot one minor detail, which is you still have a ball sitting in front of you that you got to hit.
Can you say Phil Mickelson?
Can you? Yeah, I don't like to say any names, but again, it happens to everybody. It happens to everybody at every level. So it's really a practice that if you can stay in the present and just focus on that one shot, as if it's the only shot you're taking that day. And this is a concept that it takes sometimes a while to understand. Is that let's say that you just got to hit, you get to hit one shot today, one shot, and that's your experience for golf. You would be so focused on that one shot and enjoying that process that you wouldn't be thinking about anything else because you only get that one shot. So it's almost like you have to isolate each individual one. And that's when you start playing your best golf, and that's how you can eliminate all the distractions.
Yeah. You know, I make that joke about Phil Mickelson, and clearly I hope for him that's not his legacy, that everyone brings up the 18th, you know, on that shot. But to me, I bring it up only to say it even happens to the second best player in the world.
That's right.
You know,
right.
It happens to everybody.
Yeah, it happens to everybody.
So don't beat yourself up.
Yeah, and that's another thing is that we do that a lot out there. We beat ourselves up. Now I tell people, and there's, you know, everyone has their own emotional approach to the game, and some people say, well, does that mean I can't get all mad? I go, sure you can if that helps you, but once you do it, by the time you get to the next shot, I want you to let that go. Okay, and that's what you see with the top players is that they don't hit every shot perfectly. In fact, they hit some very ugly ones. They rarely show it on TV, but they do. But by the time they get to the next shot, the better players have already said, okay, that's done. What am I going to do now? This is my one shot I got to focus on. And that's how they recover, and that's how they keep the big numbers from showing up on their scorecard. And that's what the typical golfer, middle handicapper, always has one or two blow-up holes. And they say, well, how do I prevent that? This is how you do it, just by focusing on one shot. Same thing goes for the low handicappers. We're talking about the scratch players and so forth. For them, when they, you know, they're talking about fractions of inches between being a plus one, plus two, and being a three handicap. And for them, it's also being in the moment when they're under the gun, when they have to birdie a couple holes to stay in the match or to get into a stroke play for a tournament. They need to be able to do that too. And again, this works for everybody across the board.
Mm.
And let's one shot at a time.
Let's move on to number seven now.
Seven is transform your golf game, transform your life. And to me, this is sort of the philosophy of how you look at the game and how you look at your life. And to me, there's a direct parallel. And you've heard golf is a great metaphor for life. And for me, it particularly was. I talked earlier in our prior interview that my former career was in business and marketing and strategic planning and so forth. And I enjoyed that for when I went into it. And that was a part of my goal, what I visualized, what I wanted to do. But when I got into it and started doing it time, you know, flying and commuting for work between the West Coast and the East Coast for about 50 weeks in a row, I realized that was not what I really wanted in my life. So I had to kind of transform. And it was interesting because when I was in that stage of my life where I was traveling every week and getting really tired and not, I was not playing any golf. And when I was playing golf, it was not a fun experience. It was extremely frustrating, and my game went south just like how I was experiencing life off the golf course. So what I noticed is that when I started to work on my game and really just kind of letting go, trusting, and being free, that also then set in motion the same type of actions in my life off the golf course, and that's when I start to explore what do I really want in my life, visualizing what that is, and that's when I tied together my passions, golf, my love for teaching and coaching people, and then my undergrad was in psychology, and I've always been intrigued by peak performance and people operating at that level. So I combined them all to create the Spirit of Golf Academy and the books and DVDs. So to me, if you can use the same principles and learnings that you do on the golf course, that's going to affect your life and vice versa. So these seven principles that we've gone through, they certainly apply off the golf course. Balance. I tell people, balance in your life. Balance your family, your career, relationships, the things for yourself, what you love to do, golf included. Balance it all out. Once you achieve that, you're going to have much higher level of satisfaction in your life. So sometimes people are off on one side too much versus the other, and you ask them if they're really happy, and they say, well, not really. So I tell people, get your life in balance so that it feels right for you. The same thing goes for all the other principles, and I can go through each of them one by one and apply it to life if you'd like me to do that, Fred.
Well, if you do go through the seven principles of golf and you really practice them, it's true, mastering the mental game on and off the golf course, and it really does work. The book, the videos, one on putting, volume two on the full swing, and it's Spirit of Golf Academy in Hawaii, which actually, if you're listening in Australia or Japan, or you're listening on the West Coast, the Midwest, or anywhere across the United States, it's a great destination place to go.
It's a wonderful place. Come out and join us for a few days.
Yeah. Go to spiritofgolfhawaii.com and talk to Darren.
Yeah, and then when you go to our website, you can at spiritofgolfhawaii.com, you can download for free my top 10 secrets to a great golf game. So that's something that everyone can go and get at our website. We invite you to join us and pick that up.
Awesome. Darren, thanks so much for your time for both of these episodes, and best of luck. And please stay in touch. It's awesome.
All right. Pleasure, Fred. Come on out here and we can do something live out here.
You're on.
Okay, take care, Fred.
Golf Smarter now presents Nick's Picks with Kenny Nicholson, sales manager for EdwinWattsGolf.com. Kenny keeps us up to date with reviews of new products and new product development. Nick's Picks is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968.
Kenny, how are you?
I'm good, Fred. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. I got this amazing letter from Mike Persky in Lindenhurst, Illinois, that I want to share with you quickly, because it talks about the Prince Golf Hybrid Chipper that we're giving away right after I read this letter, and the review that you gave it a couple weeks ago. Mike wrote and said that he just had to write and tell us about this. He just was wowed by your review and immediately ordered one from Edwin Watts Golf, and he took advantage of the Golf Smarter discount, of course. Surprisingly, Edwin Watts is the only retailer that he found that carries it so far, and he must admit he was very impressed with Edwin Watts' service. They called him by phone and explained that due to demand, it was back-ordered, but assured me he would receive one as soon as the next shipment came in. In fact, it was only a couple of days, and he had his new club in the bag. And what a club, he says. It's one of the most versatile clubs I've ever seen. In my first round with it last Saturday, he was able to, one, use it out of two bunkers, where because he was near a lip, it would have been difficult to use a sand wedge. Two, off a hard pan, where inevitably I would have bounced a sand or lob wedge into the ball. I'm sorry, Kenny, I'm stupid. What is a hard pan? I've heard that...
It's a very tight lie or tight fairway, very hard fairway.
Okay, thank you very much. Three, he even hit a full swing from 125 yards where he had a restricted swing under a tree, and the shorter shaft allowed him to hit a near full swing and put the ball on the green, and he doubt he would have been more successful with any of these shots with a traditional wedge. And lastly, quote, I chipped one in for birdie with it on number 13 and was sold, saying, I think I'll keep it. It's not a game improvement club. It's a score improvement club. An incredible product, he says. And then he even talks about the Sky Caddy that he purchased after he heard a review on Golf Smarter. And now all his buddies are asking him for distances whenever he plays. And he just wanted to say that the Sky Caddy and the Prince Golf Hybrid Chipper are the two best buys for his game that he has made in years because of the Golf Smarter podcast. And he just wanted to write and thank us.
That's awesome. That's good. I love that. Anytime he pays me a compliment, I love it.
All right, Kenny, I'm not paying you enough compliments. You're such a nice guy. And a good dad. You're a good dad and a great salesman.
You know,
the website, you know, the Nick's Picks, man, the stuff that you write there is wonderful. And, boy, the Edwin Watts golf are enough.
We are recording this, right?
Yeah, we are.
So I can play it back time and time again.
Yeah, absolutely. Play it for your boss when it's time for your review. But, you know, we got to talk about the catalog, too. Don't forget to get your new Edwin Watts Golf Catalog, where they talk about golf smarter and golf better at Edwin Watts Golf Podcasts and other things as well in the catalog. But, hey, check it out for us. So let's go ahead and give away this Prince Golf Hybrid Chipper. We've received 202 entries.
Wow.
Well, actually, we received almost 350 entries, but so
you
many.
You had to edit that down?
Yeah, because people are entering every day. And I'm telling you, folks, you don't have do that.
You gave a great tip last week how to do that.
Yeah, well, they did it. and now I had to eliminate a lot. And here was looking through the entries, making sure we had no redundancies, I did find something that got me very excited. I know that you like to be complimented on the great work you do, but this one really excited me. Wayland, Michigan, Fred Green. We have a guy named Fred Green who's a listener, but he spells his last name with two E's. But that's okay. Fred, hey, bud. Cool, thanks.
You're killing me.
All right, 202 entries. I put this, I sorted them out alphabetically by first name, and you get to pick a number, my friend.
Man, since it went to 202, I'm going to go for the big number, 202.
Wow. Going right to the last page, number six.
Why
here.
Not?
No, of course. I think Zach would be really excited about it.
You sort them, so.
Yes, I do. You don't have any idea what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
Coppell, Texas, it's Zach Taylor, who's just won himself a Prince Golf Hybrid Chipper. He's going to get lower scores and more fun out of his next round of golf.
Congratulations, Zach.
Hey, Zach, congratulations.
And they have some hard pan in Texas.
Yes, they do. So you'll have many opportunities to use this. Wow. All right, so let's give something else away.
You're all about giving away. Let's do a review.
Okay, then we can give something away.
Sometimes I tie the review into your giveaway.
Don't you like being Santa all year long?
You had to.
I mean, we like just giving stuff away. That's why people come to listen to the Golf Smarter podcast, isn't it? No.
No.
It's
they
to hear
come
Kenny Nicholson's great reviews.
Oh, just kidding.
Oh, I'm not. What do you want to talk to us about?
Since we've been on hybrids for some time, we've talked about them a lot. We have a limited edition Ben Hogan AHS hybrid set. It's designed the whole set, 7, 8, 9 pitch, sand, 3, 4, 5 iron. Everything is a hybrid in that set.
Wow.
So they say these unique short hybrids feature full backs for optimum weighting and full width soles for nearly eliminating fat shots. So anybody out there that struggles with any iron in their bag because they're hitting it fat or for what have you, and they need a little lower center of gravity to help get the ball airborne where they can land it soft on the greens, this is a great opportunity to get a terrific set that has a complete hybrid in every iron. And I must tell you, it's when you hit them, the ball gets up in the air, whether you're in a divot, hard pan, tight lie, it doesn't matter. The ball gets up in the air quick and lands soft. Really neat golf club. It has a high MOI, which we talked about before, moment of inertia, so there's less twisting of the golf club as well on off-center hits. And typically what you find, I mean, not knocking the guy that would use this set, but he's not going to hit it in the center of the club face every time. For that matter, neither is a lower handicap. So any golf ball that's hit off-center, there's going to be less twisting, so it's going to stay on target a little bit better.
So is this the set just come with the graphite shafts, or would this come with the steel shaft as well?
This set actually comes with just graphite.
Yeah, I would think so, because people who use the steel shafts are generally more consistent and can hit their clubs better.
Well, I mean, typically what we always say is, you know, somebody that's looking for a little more consistency would stay in steel, but also that has a lot to do with swing speed. So somebody that has a slower swing speed that needs a little bit more help generating more club head speed, we try to drive that person into a graphite shaft. Mm-hmm. Technology's changed so much over the years with graphite that they are much more consistent than they used to be. And, you know, when you look at it on an iron Byron, the dispersion rate is not that much greater than that of steel. What they're able to do, though, with graphite, typically because of the weight being lighter, they're able to make that shaft a little bit longer. So in essence, what you do when you make a shaft longer, you create more club head speed. So, you know, using all those factors, you're not comparing apples to apples because you don't have the exact same length golf club and the exact same weight and everything. So, but if you do, you have a club that's fairly consistent, and if you compare it to steel. What you look at, though, is weight-wise, it's definitely going to be a little bit lighter and a little bit easier for somebody to use.
Okay. Well, that sounds...
Oh, by the way, the set does come with 8 matching head covers, just to let you know.
Oh.
So a little bonus in there.
Not a bag. It's just the clubs.
Just the head covers, yeah, not a bag.
Okay, so it's
and
the...
a driver, nothing like that. It does come with 8 head covers. Because what you have, typically a hybrid usually has a painted top or back to it, and you don't want that club to chip up, so they do come with head covers.
That's a good idea. And so this is a Ben Hogan branded set, which means it's a quality set.
They're owned by Callaway. It's
okay.
A very, very good quality set.
And so it's the Ben
everything Hogan makes is very good.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Ben Hogan AHS, which stands for All Hybrid Set.
There you go.
I'm sitting here staring at it going, wait a minute, I wrote all this. Look at
You've
that.
You've had your coffee this morning, obviously.
Yeah, I've had my coffee this morning. It's been great. All right. Well, thank you. That is, and those are available for sale, right?
They are available. As a matter of fact, right now they're on our homepage. We're trying to drive some traffic to those. It's a very good golf club, and it's at a great price right now as well.
Really? How much are you selling it for?
For the whole set, 4 through sand wedge, which is 8 irons with the matching head cover set, right now we're selling them at $299.99.
Wow, that is a phenomenal
Which is an incredible
price.
Deal.
Yeah, because I've got to believe that usually would cost more than that.
Yeah, they definitely were, and we've got them on sale, and it's a limited edition set, so it's a great chance to get a limited edition set of Ben Hogan irons and something that a lot of people can use and benefit from out there.
What does that mean, a limited edition?
Which means they're only going to make them for a short amount of time, and they're only going to make so many sets, and that's it. They're done with them.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, that sounds like a really interesting set of clubs for the right person who's looking for that kind of help. Kenny?
Yes, Fred?
Can we give one away?
For some reason, I knew you were going to ask me that. Hold on. Let me check. Kenny, can we go? Yeah, we sure can. Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. Now we're talking business here. Can we give the whole set away?
Yes, we will.
Not just one of the clubs.
Set, 4 through sand wedge with the head covers included. We will give a set away.
All right. Well, if you'd like to win the Ben Hogan AHS, which I figured out stands for All Hybrid Set, if you'd like to win a set of those for yourself, you can do that. If you'd like to buy one, you can do that too. But if you'd like to win, we'll have the drawing on August 7th, so the deadline for entries will be noon Monday, August 6th. And to enter our contest, please go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the word contest just below the Edwin Watts Golf banner. Fill out all the information, and then once you've entered, please fill out the verification code, click submit, and it's all done. And if you wouldn't mind me asking, can you please answer once? But also, don't send me an email anymore. Just go to the website, click on the contest button. It makes it easier, and make sure that your entry will be included. Some people are concerned because they're not winning that we're not including them, but I promise you, I do spend a lot of time.
And don't forget to go to our website to get your free catalog as well.
Please go to the website and get your free catalog. That's it. Again, go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the Edwin Watts Golf banner. All right, Kenny, well, that's it for today. We've given away a great thing to Zach. We're giving away more great things, and we've received wonderful letters, and we thank everyone for listening and participating. And get your catalog.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much from our end as well.
Yeah. All right, Kenny, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Fred. Take care.
Thanks, pal. Congratulations to all listeners of the Golf Smarter podcast who live in Europe and the UK who are celebrating a long overdue home win in a major. And my guess is that right about now you're anxiously looking forward to a new era of world golf domination by Europeans. Well, don't get cocky, my friends, because even though the Europeans took number one and number two in the Open Championship, you may have also noticed an impressive play by Ernie Els, KJ Choi, Richard Green, and Andres Romero, who represent four more continents. And of course, then there's always Tiger, who is a continent unto himself. We'd like to thank Candy Nicholson of Edwin Watts Golf and this week's guest, Darren G., author of The Seven Principles of Golf. You can find more information about his academy, videos, and book at spiritofgolfhawaii.com. I'd like to remind you to visit our website, smarterpodcasts.com. Play a promo for one of our shows at the conclusion of this episode. At smarterpodcasts.com, we do our best to provide a wide range of interesting and useful content for discerning and intelligent podcast aficionados like yourself. Whether you're a woman or a man, a sports fan, dog owner, need medical advice, looking for an effective diet, or more, smarterpodcasts.com delivers sound advice. This week's quote is submitted by my new best friend, Mike Persky of Lindenhurst, Illinois. He's going to receive Golf's newest product, Windage, branded with the Golf Smarter logo. And if you watch the Golf Channel, you may have noticed for Inventors Only program that Windage is in the second round. Is it making it to the second round? You know, they're teasing us. They see little shots of it. But check out golfchannel.com or watch on the Golf Channel to see For Inventors Only and see how they do with Windage. Just For Inventors Only program that Windage is in the second round. Is it making it to the second round? You know, they're teasing us. They see little shots of it. But check out golfchannel.com or watch on the Golf Channel to see For Inventors Only and see how they do with Windage. Check them out also at playthewind.com. Mike's quote is that it's not really a quote that he's giving. It's a title of a book. And he says, I often recall this simple phrase that I found on a book in his dad's library when he was growing up. It was a book written by Julius Boros, and he believed it was written in the 50s before Hogan's Fundamentals book. But it emphasizes staying in balance, which is the first of Darren G's principles from last week's podcast. And the book is titled, Swing Easy, Hit Hard. If you have any questions, comments, quotes, or requests, just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarterpodcast.com.
Here's another radio baseball card.
If you ask me who the greatest baseball player in history of baseball was, I'd say Babe Ruth. I feel like I've been cheated as a baseball player not being able to see Babe Ruth play the game of baseball. I would have loved to play against Babe Ruth, but if I did, I'd probably be dead now, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
That was Pete Rose, the all-time hit leader in Major League Baseball history, and this is your invitation to subscribe to Radio Baseball Cards, hosted by the late Hall of Famer and network announcer Don Drysdale. Radio Baseball Cards is a series of amazing and sometimes amusing stories recorded in 1987 featuring some of the greatest players of the 20th century. Here's rookie Barry Bonds.
Sometimes I'm a boxer out on the baseball field, you know, and sometimes Eddie Murphy, or some days I'm a Clint Eastwood, you know, just really mad.
My first World Series, I was just a young kid in Chicago, and we played probably the greatest team of all time, the 1932 Yankees.
Also, this being the 60th anniversary of the breaking down of baseball's color barrier, we speak to teammates, opponents, and admirers sharing their favorite memories in celebration of Jackie Robinson. Hall of Fame catcher, the late Roy Campanella.
I can't speak for Jackie, but God knows I know he felt this way. It was a challenge to prove that blacks could play on the field and be gentlemen off of the field.
Collect a piece of baseball history that sounds as fresh today as it did 20 years ago. Subscribe to the premium edition podcast of Radio Baseball Cards at iTunes or at smarterpodcasts.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.